Pentagon faces critical shortage as weapon production falls behind demand from Ukraine to Taiwan. The United States military is running short on the munitions and weapons systems it needs, and the consequences reach well beyond the Iran confrontation that brought the issue to a head in August 2026, with defense manufacturers now operating under pressure that mirrors, and in some metrics exceeds, the strain exposed by the Ukraine conflict 4 years ago. The structural problem is not production capacity in isolation. It is the combination of depleted stockpiles, decade-long underinvestment in munitions manufacturing infrastructure, and a defense industrial base that consolidated through mergers across the 1990s and 2000s into a handful of prime contractors whose surge capacity is constrained by supplier bottlenecks several tiers down the chain. Specific inventory figures for the current Iran-related drawdown were not disclosed in public reporting as of this writing, consistent with classification norms around operational munition stocks. Details on the precise volume of weapons transferred or expended in recent operations were not public at the time of publication. The triggering news hook, reported by Bloomberg on August 9, 2026, is the recognition by defense planners and market participants that the weapons crunch now visible is a systemic condition, not a temporary drawdown event. The implication for capital markets is direct. The defense industrial base requires a sustained multi-year capital investment cycle, and the companies positioned to benefit are not necessarily the largest prime contractors, but the second and third-tier suppliers whose capacity constraints are the actual binding constraint on U.S. munitions output. Why the munitions shortfall is a structural industrial problem, not a budget problem the United States has spent, in nominal terms, more on defense than any other nation for decades. The shortfall in weapons inventories is not primarily a function of budget inadequacy. It reflects a deliberate post-Cold War decision to optimize the defense industrial base for cost efficiency rather than surge capacity. Between roughly 1993 and 2010, the number of major U.S. defense prime contractors shrank from more than 50 to approximately 5 dominant platforms. Lockheed Martin, Raytheon Technologies, now RTX, Northrop Grumman, Boeing Defense, and General Dynamics. That consolidation eliminated redundant production lines and reduced the supplier ecosystem. The result was a leaner, more profitable industry in peacetime and a brittle one under operational stress. The Ukraine conflict, beginning in 2022, first exposed this brittleneck. The U.S. and NATO collectively struggled to sustain artillery shell deliveries at rates the conflict demanded. The 155mm artillery shell shortage became a widely documented case study in the gap between procurement planning assumptions and actual wartime consumption rates. Production lines that had been scaled down over years could not be restarted in months. Our view, the Iran engagement in 2026 has reopened that wound and done so before the replenishment cycle from the Ukraine-era production ramp has fully completed. This is a compounding inventory problem, not a sequential one. The second and third-tier supplier layer is where the constraint lives institutional investors who focus exclusively on prime contractors miss the actual constraint. Lockheed Martin and RTX have order books and production schedules that are already years deep. The binding constraint on U.S. munitions output sits in the components layer. Solid rocket motors, energetic materials, the propellants and explosives that make a munition functional, and precision guidance electronics. The solid rocket motor supply chain in the United States is dominated by a small number of producers. Aerojet Rocketdyne, now operating as a subsidiary of L3Harris following the 2023 acquisition, is among the most critical. Specific production rate data for Aerojet's current output was not public at the time of publication. The broader point is structural. When the prime contractor receives a contract increase, the schedule is gated by whether Aerojet can deliver more motors, and that is gated by whether Aerojet's own suppliers of ammonium perchlorate and other materials can scale. Ammonium perchlorate, the primary oxidizer in solid rocket propellant, is produced in the United States by a single primary facility. That single point of failure in the munitions supply chain has been a documented concern in defense policy circles for years. Terms of any government investment in expanding that capacity were not disclosed in public sources reviewed for this article. The binding constraint on U.S. munitions surge capacity is not the prime contractor. It is the chemistry plant that no investor has heard of, that has one customer, and that has not added capacity in over a decade. Capital allocation signals. Where the Pentagon budget is pointing, the Pentagon's budget trajectory provides the clearest forward signal for capital allocation. The fiscal year 2025 defense budget totaled approximately $895 billion, a figure that represented the largest nominal defense appropriation in U.S. history at that time. The fiscal year 2026 request, submitted by the administration earlier in 2026, sought additional increases, though specific final appropriated figures were not confirmed in sources reviewed here. What matters more than the top line is the internal composition. The shift since 2022 has been toward procurement and research, development, test and evaluation accounts, and away from operations and maintenance. That shift funds new production, not sustainment of existing systems. It is the signal that the industrial base should interpret as a multi-year production ramp mandate. For private equity and institutional investors, the relevant deal environment follows this capital flow. Defense-focused private equity has accelerated transactions in the lower tier of the defense industrial base. AeroDefense, TransDigm Group's bolt-on acquisition strategy, and the ongoing consolidation in electronic warfare and guidance systems all reflect capital moving toward the constraint layer rather than the prime contractor layer. Source: Plaquemium Analysis, based on publicly available defense budget documents and reported industry trends. Specific transaction values not disclosed, where terms were not public. The Iran conflict as accelerant. What the broader risk picture looks like, the Bloomberg reporting from August 9, 2026, frames the Iran situation as the proximate cause of the current weapons crunch conversation. Our analytical position is that Iran is the accelerant, not the cause. The cause is 25 years of industrial base contraction. The forward risk picture is what matters for investment positioning. The United States now faces a scenario where simultaneous or sequential demands on weapons inventories from multiple theaters, a Taiwan contingency, a renewed European ground conflict, or continued Middle East operations would arrive before the replenishment cycle is complete. Defense Secretary and senior Pentagon officials have spoken publicly in general terms about the need to accelerate industrial base investment. Specific statements from named officials on the current Iran-related drawdown were not available in declassified public sources at the time of this publication. The market has begun to price this in. Shares of defense prime contractors and second-tier suppliers have moved materially in 2026, though specific price performance data for individual securities was not confirmed in sources reviewed here and is excluded on grounds of factual integrity. The Plaquemium view the market is still pricing the U.S. weapons crunch as a demand event for prime contractors. It is not. It is a supply event for industrial infrastructure, and the investment opportunity is in the infrastructure layer, not the system integrator layer. Here is the specific thesis. The United States government will, over the next 3 to 5 years, underwrite a structural expansion of the domestic defense industrial base that resembles, in function if not in form, the post-Korea rearmament of the 1950s. That prior cycle was characterized by government-funded construction of production facilities, long-term take-or-pay contracts with suppliers, and guaranteed offtake that de-risked private capital investment in otherwise unattractive manufacturing assets. The second-order play is industrial real estate and workforce infrastructure. Building new munitions production capacity requires purpose-built facilities, often in rural areas with specific zoning and safety setback requirements. The companies that own or can develop that real estate, combined with the permitting relationships and environmental compliance infrastructure, hold a strategic asset that is not reflected in current valuations. The third-order play is international. U.S. allies in Europe and the Indo-Pacific face identical industrial-based deficits. The political pressure to rebuild domestic production in Germany, Poland, Japan, South Korea, and Australia creates a parallel capital deployment opportunity across allied defense industrial ecosystems. Companies with ITAR-compliant international operations and existing government-to-government transfer relationships are positioned to capture that demand. What the source article does not say, and what Plaquemium's framework identifies, the weapons crunch is the forcing function that finally converts decades of policy rhetoric about industrial base resilience into actual capital commitment. The window for investors to position ahead of that commitment cycle is open now and will close as contract announcements accelerate into 2027. The bottom line, the U.S. weapons inventory shortfall exposed by the Iran engagement in August 2026, is a multi-year industrial investment mandate disguised as a geopolitical news event. Prime contractors will see order book growth. The real money is in the supply chain layer below them, in the energetic materials producers, solid rocket motor manufacturers, and precision guidance component suppliers that have been structurally underfunded for a generation. Investors who position in the constraint layer, not the headline layer, before the government contract wave formalizes, will capture the asymmetric return. The replenishment cycle has started. The infrastructure cycle is just beginning.